Now, as it's the Father's Day today, I thought it'll be appropriate, to talk, take this opportunity to address the fathers and the men, and of course, generally, it's for everyone, but I'll be specifically speaking to the men in the fellowship and the fathers and would-be fathers, whatever your position is. Now, let me tell you one thing at the outset that there are no perfect fathers, okay? There are no perfect fathers in the world. But there is only one perfect father, and you know who that is. Our Heavenly Father. He's perfect. He's the epitome of Father. He's our Heavenly Father. And I want to begin this teaching or this session this morning with a very familiar, statement of truth that if you've done Freedom in Christ, you'll be familiar with this. It'll come on the screen. I want us to read that aloud before I go any further. And that's called, I know some of you, if you've done the Freedom in Christ, you have got this postcard with you. It's called My Father God Statements. And it is, I believe, it's very important for us to know who our Heavenly Father is before we understand our role as fathers and men. Yeah? Do you agree with me? Okay, so I just want us to do this. Read it out aloud. These are the truths from the Scripture about our Heavenly Father and what He means to us. Are you ready then? So we'll read this. Father God, I renounce the lie that you are distant and uninterested in me. I joyfully accept the truth that you are intimate and involved. Father God, I renounce the lie that you are insensitive and uncaring toward me. I joyfully accept the truth that you are kind and compassionate. Father God, I renounce the lie that you are stern and demanding of me. I joyfully accept the truth that you are accepting and filled with joy and love. Father God, I renounce the lie that you are passive and cold toward me. I joyfully accept the truth that you are warm and affectionate toward me. Father God, I renounce the lie that you are absent or too busy for me. I joyfully accept the truth that you are always with me and available for me. Father God, I renounce the lie that you are impatient, angry, or never satisfied with what I do. I joyfully accept the truth that you are patient and slow to anger with me, and you delight in those who put their hope in your unfailing love. Father God, I renounce the lie that you are mean, cruel, or abusive toward me. I joyfully accept the truth that you are loving and gentle and protective of me. Father God, I renounce the lie that you are trying to take all the fun out of my life. I joyfully accept the truth that you are trustworthy and want to give me a full life. I know your will is good, perfect, and acceptable for me. Father God, I renounce the lie that you are controlling or manipulative of me. I joyfully accept the truth that you are full of grace and mercy, giving me freedom to fail. Father God, I renounce the lie that you are condemning and unforgiving. I joyfully accept the truth that you are tender-hearted and forgiving of me. Father God, I renounce the lie that you are a nitpicking, demanding perfectionist. I joyfully accept the truth that you are committed to my growth and that you are growing me as your child. For I'm the apple of his eyes. Praise God. You can clap. You can clap. This is who our Father God is. Amen. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we worship, who loves us. And please forgive all the typing error. I was copying and pasting, and I think I must have messed it up. So sorry about that. But you got the truth, right? That's important. Okay? Our Father God is He, what He says He is. He's true. He is faithful. And quite often, we have got a distorted view of who our Father God is. And it's interesting that if you notice that you very rarely hear about mother issues. Have you heard? Very rarely you hear about mother's issues. It's always father issues. You hardly hear about mother issues. And it's not because that mothers don't have issues. Okay? It's not that children don't have any trouble with mothers. Okay? Rather, it looks like the most of the issues that take place in this world are our children are more affected by their father. Okay? Now, in fact, if I go around and ask each of you, who did you have the most problem with growing up? I would say most of you would say it's the father. I know some of you would say mother, but most of you would say what? It's father. And I can stand corrected if I'm wrong, but this is what I believe. And this is what the enemy wants to do. Because the devil knows that in order to destroy the family, in order to destroy the fabric of a family, the way God has created the family to be, and then just what the devil needs to do is to attack the fathers of the house. And that's exactly what the devil is doing. You know, experts say that children from fatherless homes are more likely to be poor, become involved in drug and alcohol abuse, drop out of school and suffer from health and emotional problems. Boys are more likely to become involved in crime, and girls are more likely to become pregnant as teens. These are statistics, data that has been given. It's out there. It's not Christian statistics. It's out there in the secular world. And I like what the Bible says. Jesus in John chapter 10 says, the thief comes to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. And fatherlessness in our society, in fact, in our world, is today epidemic. And according to a recent British report from the University of Birmingham, the need for a father is on an epidemic scale. And father deficit should be treated as a public health issue. The need for a father is on an epidemic scale, and father deficit should be treated as a public health issue. I want us to take this very seriously. And one of the ways these days the enemy is distorting the God-ordained, the God-ordained order of family and society is through gender confusion, distorted view of gender equality, disregarding to the God-ordained role of man and woman in the family. And the devil has been, to some extent, successful in doing that. I'm sad to say that in some way that it has got into the church as well. And that's why it is so important that we go back into the Word of God and see what the Word of God teaches us about the role of the Father. It is a crucial. I want to tell you, men, whether you're fathers or not, you have a very serious role to play. And that doesn't mean that women have no role to play. But fathers, you are in the front of attack from the enemy. I want to tell you that. If he can get you down, he will destroy the society. If he can get the fathers and the men and the husbands down, he will destroy the society. I want you to know you are, as a Christian husbands, Christian fathers and men, I want you to know you are in a big battle. Don't take it lightly. Don't get sucked into the idea and the philosophy of this world. It's so easy for us to get drawn into all kinds of ideas and philosophy that the world throws at us when it talks about the equality. I'm not against equality. But when the way the world puts it, it distorts what God has ordained. Are you with me? And this morning, I'm not getting at fathers and I'm not getting at men. I just want us to be warned. I want us to really take this role seriously. Because enemy is constantly going to attack you. I'm not going to look at all the different areas of the family, but I'm just going to focus specifically on the fatherhood, okay? I'm not going to talk about husbands. I'm just going to specifically talk about the fatherhood as God intended it to be. And what does the Bible say about fathers, how a father should be? And as I said, the reason I made us read that aloud is that I believe that's exactly God wants a father to be. You know? That's exactly God wants a father to be, just as he is. He wants you as fathers to behave and to live. And before that, there are two scriptures that I want to read. Oh gosh, there's water here. It's all right. There's the one scripture, it's a similar scripture. One is from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is specifically to the fathers. There's nothing written about the mother. Can you see that? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the word. And it comes just after when it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Quite often, parents are very good at quoting this to the children. Okay, we are very good at quoting, honor your father, obey your, this is what's good. And we forget the latter part, which says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. And I want to tell you, and I'm guilty of that. And I don't know about you, fathers, you may be perfect, you may not be exasperating your children. I'm guilty of that. And there's another scripture in Colossians. Again, it says that in chapter 3, verse 20. Chapter 3, verse 20, it says, and again, I'll read it from, verse 20. I'll say, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Okay? And it goes on to say, fathers, do not, for some reason, it's just fathers. Can you see that? It's not talking to the mother. Okay? Because I believe, to some extent, mothers are doing their job. I'm sorry to say this. Okay? I'm sure there are mothers who, you know, none of the mothers are not perfect either. They have their moments. But this is specifically to the fathers. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Your children's encouragement depends on you, fathers. If you want your child to grow confident and encouraged, you have a big role, father. If you want your boy and your girl face the world with confidence, you have a great role to play. Don't leave it up to your wives. Don't leave it up to the mother. Okay? So you have a responsibility. This is specifically to the father. I'm not adding to the scripture. This is very specifically, very clearly. You can go and look at the Greek and Hebrew, do whatever you want. It talks about the father. Okay? And you can come and argue with me, okay? So fathers, do not embitter your children. How? And I wanted just to share with you briefly how you can embitter your child, how you can discourage your child, okay? And from the list of things that we just read out loud, okay? I just want to, the first thing from what we read from that card, how is our Heavenly Father, it says, It says, I joyfully accept the truth that my Father God is intimate and involved. Are you with me? If you as a father are not involved in your child's life, or you're not intimate in your child's life, you are discouraging your child. As simple as that. It says that you're not, you know, I renounce the lie that it's talking about the Father God. You're distant and uninterested in me. And I guess some of us need to examine. Some of us are so distant from our, we don't even recognize our children. We don't even know. We live under the same roof and we don't even know our children. you're discouraging your children. You're embittering your children. But you are called to what to do, to emulate the Father God. I want you to say one thing. You know, God is the example to follow, okay? He's the example to follow. You know, I just want to clarify one thing, that when God the Father is revealed as Father in the Scripture, God is not using human example of Father. Are you with me? It's in the it's Father, God the Father is mentioned not because of human fathers, rather He is the Father. Are you with me? And it's because of that relationship in the Trinity with, that He wants to reflect that Trinity, that relationship within the Trinity through human relationships. Are you with me? So God the Father in the Scripture is not explained to show human fathers. It's the other way around. God the Father is Father. He's eternally Father. Are you with me? He's same unchanging God. He's eternally Father. And if you have been, if you're here when we did the doctrine series, you can go back and listen to and on our website when we talked about the Trinity. I mentioned about God the Father. He's eternally Father. He didn't became Father after He created man. He was always God the Father. Are you with me? And it is because of Him, it is through Him that we learn how to be a father. Are you with me? So I just wanted to clarify that. Sometimes we can think that it's God the Father in the Bible is mentioned to show that, you know, how, you know, just to relate with us, just to make us understand it on human terms. No, our Heavenly Father is the perfect Father. He is eternally Father. Okay? So, if you're discouraging, you're embittering your child if you're not involved in the life of your child, if you're not intimate. Our Father God is intimate and involved. How do I know that? Read Psalm 139. It'll tell you how intimate and how involved your Heavenly Father is in your life. 139. I'm not going to read the whole Psalm. Go away, go home and read. I like some of the beautiful scriptures in there. It talks about He has fearfully and wonderfully made you. Amen. He wove you in your mother's womb. That's how involved your Heavenly Father is. Are you with me? Your Father, your Heavenly Father is involved. No matter, I don't know what your experience has been as a with your father. I'm sure you've had very difficult, maybe some of you had very bad experience and some of you had great experience. But either way, we don't just follow the example of our earthly father. As the children of God, we look to our Heavenly Father. And as the scripture tells us, no matter how good or how great or how worse your father has been, you have no excuse not to be the father that God has called you to be. Because the Heavenly Father shows how a father must be and should be. Are you with me? And of course, we don't do it in our strength. And that's why we need the Spirit of God to lead us in all the truth. And this is the truth that I'm reading and sharing with you. So you embitter or you discourage your children if you're not involved and intimate in your relationship with them. Secondly, you will discourage or embitter your child if you are not kind and compassionate. Okay? It says, I renounce the lie that my Father God is insensitive and uncaring. I joyfully accept the truth that my Father God is kind and compassionate. Okay? And I'm not going to dwell too much on that. And some of it it's overlaps. And thirdly, you're discouraging your child. You're embittering your child. If, as it says, my Father God is accepting and filled with joy and love. I renounce the lie that my Father God is stern and demanding. Isn't that true of some of us? We are so demanding of our children. I'm not saying that we should not encourage our children to excel. But sometimes, maybe some of you, the cultures that you come from, because it's a multicultural church that I'm addressing, and I know you know where I'm coming from. You'll understand. If you're coming from India or Africa or you know, and anywhere, you know, anywhere other than West, and even in the West, I guess, parents are so demanding of their children. And there's some, you know, some of us parents, you know, I can talk about India, so I'm not going to upset anyone. I come from India. There's such a demand from the children, you know, parents who don't even pass 10th or 12th. Their expectation of their child is to become engineer and doctor. You know why? What they couldn't do, they want to live their dream through their children. I want you to know that is not just. You are demanding something that is not godly. Yes, encourage your child to study hard. Encourage your child to excel. But you have no right to put those burdens, heavy burdens, on your children. If you don't become a doctor, I'm not happy with you. Fathers, be careful. If you don't become an engineer, I will not be happy with you. You know what your first priority is? To see your child know Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall follow. If you can teach your child to be passionate for God, and if you succeed in your making your child to follow Christ, you know what? Everything else will follow, I promise you. If you can encourage your child to know Christ, as Paul says, to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, everything else will follow. You know what it does? You won't achieve anything if they become a doctor or a nurse for eternity. It doesn't matter. In eternity, it doesn't matter. You may be a janitor in a school. It doesn't matter. What matters in eternity is, have you led your child to the Lord? It's not, have you made your child a doctor or engineer? I'm sorry. I'm very emotional about this, because I've been dealing with somebody within my family. The pressures. On our children. And if you don't please your parents, they are disappointed with you. So let's be careful. Church, fathers, don't discourage your child. Don't force your child to do things that he or she is not ready to take on. Yes, encourage them to excel. Yes, I totally agree. We don't want our children to be lazy and do nothing. We want to encourage them to excel in their education. Pray for them to excel. But let God decide and let God direct them what they should become. Are you with me? You're discouraging them if you are stern and demanding. But on the other hand, the Father God accepts you to be accepting and filled with joy and love for your children. Are you with me? And I could give you scriptures. I don't want to go through reading scriptures, but I can give you Romans chapter 15, 7. Zephaniah 3, 17 talks about the Father God. Fourthly, you are discouraging or embittering your child when you're passive and cold. So when they don't fulfill your demand, what do? You become passive and you become cold. And we forget that how much, I want you to know that whenever you feel like that, think about your Heavenly Father. If he has been so patient with you, how much more you should be patient. My Heavenly Father, on the other hand, is not passive and cold. Whatever your experience has been of your fathers, my Heavenly Father is not passive and cold. He is warm and affectionate, church. He loves me. My Heavenly Father loves me. That's all I need to know. He loves me. He is warm and affectionate. Isaiah 40, 11. Hosea 11, 3 and 4, if you want to read. My Heavenly Father is warm and affectionate. He loves me. Fifthly, you're discouraging your child, because that's a lot of time. That's why I'm just running through it quickly. If you're discouraging your child, you're discouraging or embittering a child if you're absent or too busy for him. And that is epidemic in this world. Absent fathers. And not just physically, I'm talking about emotionally. I'm not talking about fathers who are not around. But I'm talking about even fathers who are around, but they are passive or absent or too busy. I'm not getting at anyone. Please don't get me wrong. I'm just stating what the scripture tells us. And this is serious business, guys. This is serious business. And I'm accountable. And I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself. Are you with me? It's a challenge. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not going to be easy. It's a battle. It's a challenge. Especially as Christian fathers, it's going to be tough, guys. Because there's a battle raging against you. Absent or too busy. And on the other hand, my Heavenly Father is always with me and eager to be with me. He's not just with me, but he is eager to be with me. My Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father. Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and Jeremiah 31, 20. My Heavenly Father, he's never absent because he's promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you till the end of the world. I'll never leave you. And you know what? The moment you become a father, when you took that child in your hand, that's your call. To never leave or forsake him or her. You made a vow before the Lord that I'm not going to leave this child. I'm not going to abandon this child when you took that child. He's always with me. And I know, yes, I know that we can't always, as humans, we can't always be around. But you know what I mean? That you're there when they need you. You're discouraging and embittering your child if you're impatient, angry, or never satisfied with what they do. As I said, there's a lot of things will be overlapping, but I just want to go through this. But my Heavenly Father, he is patient, he is slow to anger, and delights in those who put their hope in his unfailing love. My Heavenly Father is patient, and so am I expected to be patient with the children that he is interested in my care. Fathers, do not embitter or discourage your child. Be patient with them. Help them to learn. You know, I'm very impatient, I'm telling you. And I have to work hard to be patient. And that's why when it comes to teaching my children, I'm very impatient. Can't you see that? Can't you understand? Because I'm thinking as an adult. And I've explained it once, and I have twice, and they come back, oh, Daddy, I don't know. Come on, it's so simple. Come on, can't you understand, can't you see? And you know what, that some of it is coming from the way my parents or my dad taught me, okay? And then I have to unlearn those habits and to be more godly when I teach my child. To be more like God the Father. But I'm patient, yes, child. Okay, 10 times, 20 times, I'm willing. I'll stay with you. Let's do it 10 times. Let's do it 100 times. I'll be awake till you get it. That's not my story. I'll just hand it over to Priscilla. You carry on. I've given all my wisdom. And the rest is yours. Patient. Be patient with your children. Don't discourage them. What I'm saying, I don't mean that we don't discipline our children. Don't get me wrong. We discipline. You know, there is foolishness. The Bible says foolishness is in the heart of a child. And we need to kick that foolishness out of their mind and heart. Okay? And we have to discipline them. We've got to discipline them. Okay? And I know I'll be politically incorrect when I say that you need to smack them. okay? But I don't care, because that's what the Bible tells me, okay? I don't mean abuse them, okay? You know what I mean, okay? There is a rightful chastisement, okay? And you've all been, especially those of us who come from Africa and Asia, you know what rightful chastisement is. Some of you are shaking your head. Yeah, I know. I know. All those chappals and all those belts. I'm not talking about that. Please, don't do that. Don't do that. I'll have a chat with you guys. I'm glad the kids are grown up, Sarah. We're discouraging our children if we are mean, cruel, or abusive. Because my Father God is loving and gentle and protective. Are you with me? My Father God is loving and gentle and protective. Even in our discipline, we can be gentle. I'm telling you, you try that. Quite often, when we discipline our children, we come out of our own frustration. We're dealing with them, we're disciplining because we ourselves are dealing with some frustrations of maybe work, coming back from work. We had an argument with a colleague or had a difficult time at workplace, and all that is running in our mind, and then we come home and a child does something wrong, padak. I need to have a separate class. Now, with all due respect, I understand, but that's not godly anyway. beating the hell out of your child, no, that's not discipline. That's mean, cruel, and abusive. I'm just saying what the Bible tells me, okay? Because my heavenly Father is loving and gentle and protective. Yes, He disciplines. My heavenly Father disciplines me, don't He? Doesn't He? He disciplines us. He disciplines us. He's not a father who wants us to just to be indisciplined and just live the way we want. No, He disciplines us. Yes, that's why we sometimes face suffering. We go through a difficult time because He is disciplining us. When we go through trials, when we go through trouble, the Bible tells us, Peter says that He is refining us. He is disciplining us. Are you with me? Okay. So our Heavenly Father is loving, gentle, and protective. If you want to read, that's in Jeremiah 31:3, Isaiah 42:3, and Psalm 18:2. Now, if you're discouraging and embittering your child, if you're trying to take all the fun out of their life, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I know that, I'm not saying that you'll let them lose and do whatever they want to do, no. I'm not saying like that father, he said, go and play the video game and then we'll think about the homework. No. I'm not talking about but quite often, you know, when especially parents who are so career focused and when they put this pressure on their child, you don't need to be an extracurricular activity, just focus on your maths. Focus on your physics, focus on your chemistry. Tuition, go. You don't need any fun. You can have fun after you got a job. What fun you want? You know what? Let kids be kids. Let children be children. But I like what Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And it is this kind who will inherit the kingdom of God. Because every child is not the same. Maybe you have one child who's very brilliant and focused, and you have another child who's not so focused, who's constantly distracted like me. You know who is laughing? He's laughing, he's just like me. distracted. What happens? We want to put the same burden on both the children. And we're constantly comparing. And isn't it, that's another thing we do, isn't it, in our families. We're comparing. We're showing favoritism. You know what I'm talking about. And some of you have been through that in your own family. You show favoritism from one child to another. This child, oh, I love this. You know, you may not say it, but the way you do and the way you you care for them, the other child, you think that the children are fools. No, they detect that. They detect that. I've been speaking to somebody just for some few weeks now. Somebody, I'm talking about my family, who've been through that, who've been through big time favoritism. This one person is more favored than the other. You're never good. Look at your brother or your sister. You're never good. You're never good. No matter how much they do, you're never good. If you're doing that, fathers, please stop that right now. Stop that right now. Stop comparing your child with another child. Stop comparing your child with the neighbor's child. Please, don't do that. You're not going to achieve anything. You are going to discourage them, and you're going to embitter them and ruin them for the rest of their life when you do that. But my Heavenly Father is trustworthy and wants to give me a full life. His will is good, perfect, and acceptable for me. Lamentation 3:22, John 10:10, Romans 12:1-2. Moving on. You're discouraging your children. And as I said, most of them are overlapping. You're discouraging your children or embittering your child if you're controlling and manipulative. And I've seen that a lot. Parents, even in their adulthood, when the kids are adult and married, trying to manipulate them. Fathers, be careful. And I know mothers are equally, if not more, equally guilty of manipulating. Rather, I would say mothers are more manipulative. That's true. Thank you, Judith. Amen, said somebody. Mothers are more manipulative. You know how they manipulate? They don't say anything. Woo-hoo-hoo. Preach it, brother, he says. I got a scripture for that. David has a scripture for that. Please, don't manipulate your children. Trust them or entrust them in God's hand. Let God fulfill His purposes for their lives. Don't manipulate them. Don't manipulate them. On the other hand, my Father God is full of grace and mercy, and He gives me the freedom to fail. That's a no-no for us, isn't it, as parents? We don't want our children to fail. But my Heavenly Father, He is so gracious. He's got such a big heart that He can handle my failures. That's the God I serve. That's the God we serve. And you know your failures. You know where you have failed. You know things where you messed things up. But you've seen His grace and His mercy in your life. And He has, with open arms, have received you. Then how much more as parents, Father, when your children fail, Don't give up on them. Receive them and say, son, you can do it again. Daughter, you can do it again. I'm with you. And even if you fail again, I'm going to be with you. I know it's going to be hard. It doesn't come easy to us, isn't it, as parents? It doesn't come easy. We don't want our children to fail because we are constantly comparing with our neighbor's child. Look at them. He's a doctor, he's an engineer. What are you doing sitting at home? Eating into my pension. I'm not going to tell the name. Somebody told me. I'm going to leave it nameless. I'm not going to say the name, but somebody said that one of their child said, you know, when they were young, I think, that they're waiting for their pension. Waiting for the pension. Daddy, I'm waiting for your pension. I'm not going to tell the name. I'm not going to look at them as well. Okay. My Father God is full of grace and mercy and gives me freedom to fail. Hebrews 4:15-16 and Luke 15:11-16. Please read them. If you want this, I have some cards. If you want, is it for if you can contribute 20p, just 20p. You're discouraged already. I said 20p, I didn't say 20 pound. Come on, guys. Sorry? Thanks. See. 50p. £1. Okay. Oh, there's a... Not this one. We have copies, yeah? If you want, just contribute whatever you want. Just contribute. Give it to George. That'd be great. You can have some of this. Maybe next Sunday we can put it out for you to take it away. It's great to just take it and study. Look at the scripture and just feed yourself and know and get to know this Heavenly Father. There's nothing greater than getting to know this Heavenly Father who loves you, who cares for you. Moving on, you're discouraging and you're embittering your child if you're condemning and unforgiving. Okay? If you're constantly condemning and unforgiving. But my Heavenly Father is tender-hearted and forgiving. His heart and arms are always open to me. Psalms 130:1-4, Luke 15:17-24. He's always forgiving me. He's always receiving me and accepting me. And I can come to him just as I am. I don't need to pretend. You know, sometimes we pretend as children, we try to hide things. We pretend because we know that if I'm true to my parents, they will condemn me or they punish me. But before God, I don't need to pretend. Because he sees anything anyway. He knows me anyway. He knows me in and out. He knows my inner being. He knows my thoughts. He knows the words that I'm going to say even if before it comes to my mouth. That's how amazing our Heavenly Father is. And finally, I won't let you suffer any longer. You're discouraging and embittering your child if you're nitpicking or a demanding perfectionist. Some of us are, isn't it? Because you are so perfectionist, and there's nothing wrong in being perfectionist. That's good for you, but don't expect that from your child, because your child is not perfect, because you're not perfect. You and I are not perfect. But my Heavenly Father is not nitpicking or demanding perfectionist. Who is he? He's committed to my growth. That's who my Heavenly Father is. He's committed. Can you hear me? He's committed. He's not just saying things, but he's committed. He is committed to my growth and proud of me as his growing child. He's proud of me. You know what? It is so important once in a while. Fathers, when it comes from you, because I believe quite often mothers do that, just naturally do that. But fathers, quite often we're not easily affectionate, isn't it? We're not easily good with words to say that, you know, to say, I love you, child. I love you, son. I love you, daughter. And then, you know, or you're, well done, that's great. We don't, it doesn't come easily, isn't it? Some of us are all right, you know, but some of us, it doesn't come easily. I'm a very sentimental person, it comes easily, and my kids feel that I'm too much. Stop it, daddy, you know. I'm too much, you know, kissing and hugging and saying I love you. But some of us struggle to say, some of us struggle to say, I love you. Some of us struggle to say, well done, son, well done. Instead of saying that, I say, what happened, you know, when our children come, you know, I'm talking about India, when our child brings their progress report. Dad, I got 85%. 85%? That's all? What happened to the 25%? Isn't that true? Hey, don't dissect my maths, okay? Just leave me alone. 15, I was checking if you know. I was a bit slow in maths. I'm talking about mental maths, yeah? Is that how we do? What happened to the 15? 85, just 85. What happened to the 15? Go for tuition. Come on. Do it again. Instead of celebrating, wow, I'm so excited. And that's how our God is. That's how my Heavenly Father is like. So fathers, I'm not, again, let me tell you with all humility, I'm not getting at you. I'm just reminding ourselves that our Heavenly Father expect you and I to emulate him, to mirror him. You know what? The only way your children are going to know the Heavenly Father is through you. Are you with me? The only way your children are going to learn God, to know and experience God as their Heavenly Father, is watching you. If you don't set an example, they will grow up with a distorted view of their Heavenly Father. So let's give them the right view. Let's get our kids get to know this Heavenly Father. Let's direct them to him rather than to make them focusing on you. Because you and I are not perfect. You and I are frail. You and I fail. Let's get their focus, their eyes on this God who is the perfect Father. And if you can do that, you've succeeded as a father. If you got your child, their eyes on the Lord, on the Heavenly Father, I want to tell you, you've succeeded as a father. You may not have been able to give them everything in the world. You may not have been able to provide all the education that they needed. But if you have been successful for your child to know Christ and to know this Heavenly Father, let me say this loud and clear, you are a successful father. That is the standard of your success. May the Lord bless you, church. Shall we stand together? Shall we stand together?